Ramsey TV.
I've been asked to comment on several important issues of the day, as you can well imagine. After all, I am the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, so I will comment on these things today. I'm going to talk about politics for a little bit, and then I have great advice for Mother Teresa. I know she's dead. I'm going to pretend she's alive and that she's right here sitting with me at my table outside here at the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. And I've been given the task of turning this poor, literally anguished, frustrated, God-empty, faith-empty, according to her own words, in her confessional, her confessions. I'm going to take this woman and make her into a happy, loving woman who understands the truth of grace and who becomes no less helpful to the poor. No less helpful. Wait till you hear this. Welcome to the end of the week. Not that I had anything to do with it. It was going to end with or without me, but I just thought I'd get in on the glory. Now, I've been asked to comment on the recent peace agreement between the United Arab Emirates and Israel. And let me just say that this is not the ultimate peace deal. We're looking for a deal between the Palestinians and the Israelis, but it's a step in the right direction. We're getting friendly between Arab world and the Jewish world, so this is a good thing. The greatest news is the Washington Post has condemned it, so this is very good. That the Washington Post hates it is proof that this is a positive move toward peace. Well, of course the Washington Post would hate anything having to do with the advancement of peace in the world, because they want chaos, because they want to get rid of Trump. Speaking of Trump, I've been asked to comment on the choice of Kamala Harris for Joe Biden's running mate. Joe Biden being the person, the carcass, if you will, that is being propped up and run against Donald Trump in the U.S. elections. Let me just say this. Being a fan of Trump, I love Kamala Harris because she is an added train car. She has been coupled to the engine, quote-unquote, if you will, of Joe Biden, and it will only increase the sound and the explosion of the train wreck, because this is a train wreck, which part of me loves it, part of me hates it, because it's so sad that this is the best that the left can do. Some might say it's so sad that Trump is the best the right can do. I could go with that. Yeah. Well, we know that God doesn't put the best people in charge of political entities. He puts probably the worst people in charge. Not the worst, but people who are lacking. So, we're going to find out who the greatest politicians are. The greatest politicians in the world never had opportunity to serve, probably. There's some military genius out there somewhere right now, or in the past even, and since this person was in his or her era, never tested, never brought a war in which to shine, was never lauded or celebrated as the military genius that they were. Isn't that interesting? In order to prove yourself as something like a statesman or a military genius, you have to have a conflict. And if there's no conflict, then your mettle is never tested and it's never displayed. I just think that's a little wrinkle in life, that when it's all said and done at the Great White Throne or wherever, we're going to find out who the true geniuses were. And we're all going to be waiting for Steve Jobs and the Wright brothers and Einstein and Thomas Edison to step forward. And then some guy named Fred from Schenectady, New York, is going to be lauded as the greatest genius. He just was lazy. He never applied himself. He drank beer, but he was smarter than all of them combined. That's kind of funny, and God kept him down because God didn't want this smart person up there. I just think that's funny, and I think that probably these people who are putting together the computer things, it's so freaky the technology is so wild that I think literally, now I'm not kidding you, this might sound surprising coming from me, but I think these people have made a pact with Satan. Honestly, I do, because I don't think these people are that freaking smart. I think they're given supernatural knowledge. I don't think it's like, I think it's given very surreptitiously. It's given quietly. I don't think they sign an actual document. But I think there's maybe, I don't know how it happens, I really don't, but I think there's, I think people in the entertainment industry too, I think they're making pacts with Satan. I've heard Bob Dylan suggest as much, that if you want to be a superstar in this world, there are ways, and it has to do with making a pact with the evil one. I think that's true of entertainment. I'm not saying that people don't have raw talent, they do. Now, the Beatles were an exception, I think, because they were a working class band that stayed working class, and they weren't all that. They weren't polished. I still see them as innocent lads. But some of these techs of, these titans of technology, and people like Oprah Winfrey, yeah, I think there's big trouble there. You can tell by looking at some of these people that they're just, something wrong with them. Okay, enough of that. The first policy, I'm going to get into Mother Teresa, the first policy announcement of the great Biden-Harris ticket is mandatory face masks for everybody in the country. Yeah. Ooh, that's a really good play. That's a nice opening card. Tyranny. It's a great opening card to force people to do something against their wills. Yeah. Not based upon any science or anything. No, but based upon a loosey-goosey non-consensus that, well, maybe these will protect us from this virus that really is not killing anybody anymore. It's a move of tyranny. Just think what they're going to do next. People have said Trump is this dictator. He's a Hitler. Trump's going to make everybody do what he wants. And yet Trump is leaving it up to the states what they want to do. And he's kind of loosey-goosey on the masks, which I love. And that's a winning position. That's a winning position. But here is Joe Biden telling people that he's going to make the governors, going to tell the governors to make mandatory face masks, even when you're outside, even when you're by yourself, when you're exercising. This is a losing position, which I love. Can't wait for the big loss in November. It's going to be epic. 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 And then Kamala Harris comes on the stage afterwards and says, now there's real leadership. Really? Well, there's real tyranny. But most Americans want masks. 82% of Americans say they're for it. No, 82% of Americans are afraid to say what they really think. But they'll say it in the voting booth. Now, Mother Teresa, you poor soul, I don't think her suffering and her poverty were worth very much, because it's mandated by her organization, the Missionaries of Charity. Being one of the Sisters of Charity. How is your suffering and your giving noble when it's required, when you look in the handbook and it says that you must learn farming, you must become poor, you must be angelically chaste, you must, it's like you're checking the boxes. Poor? Okay, I'm poor, check. Angelically chaste? Yeah, I haven't had an orgasm in 45 years, check. Absolute poverty. I got nothing in this life. Check. She's checking boxes. The boxes demanded by her order. So how is it noble? It's not organic. It's not a move of the spirit. It's checking the handbook. According to the handbook of Mother Teresa's order, the nuns must be souls of prayer and penance. They must be. And absolute poverty, quote, is demanded. Angelic chastity, demanded. Cheerful obedience is demanded. Cheerful obedience. I must be cheerful. Well, she couldn't check that box because I showed you the picture of Teresa yesterday. Not a happy soul. She was miserable, as her writings illustrate. Here's another one of her writings. I'm going to skip ahead to this. Later in life, Mother Teresa wrote to confidants. Ooh, listen to this. Where is my faith? Even deep down, there is nothing but emptiness and darkness. If there be God, please forgive me. If there be God, excuse me. If there be God, Mother Teresa doubted that there was a God. If there be God. This is late in life, after she had done all her magnificent works, after she had been celebrated by presidents and celebrities. She was a celebrity herself. Paparazzi followed her. She knew it was all BS. She knew it was false because she knew she was following the rule book. She did not have the Spirit of God within her. She had the spirit of religion. That is not the Spirit of God, and it caused her deep, deep misery. Let us continue with a quote from Mother Teresa later in life to confidants. She writes, "Such deep longing for God, repulsed, empty, no faith, no love, no zeal." You may ask, why does Mother Teresa say she has no love? I just explained it to you. She doesn't have the Spirit of God within her. She didn't. The first fruit of the Spirit of God is love. There you go. Let's continue with the quote. What do I... Oh, zeal. By the way, zeal. All her zeal was artificially imposed upon her by the rule book of her order. The missionaries of mayhem. Yeah. The sisters of Sasquatch or whatever. It's just... If I can speak of myself for just 1 second, my zeal for this message is organic. It comes from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is this wonderful, dancing, beautiful breath of God that comes into people, some people, and it animates them, and it makes them want to do things. It's not a checkbox on a rule book. That's what churches have. That's what religions have. They have checkboxes, you check, yes, did I not sin today, did I give enough money, was I sacrificial enough, did I suffer enough? And by the way, I have to say this poverty thing, Mother Teresa, I'm going to finish her quote here, it's amazing, then I'm going to give her some advice, and I probably have more to say on this topic next week, just a little bit. So Mother Teresa took a vow of poverty, and yet she's trying to help the poor. Tell me, how is a absolute poor person, and this is a requirement, absolute poverty, how is an absolute poor person supposed to help poor people? I mean, if the poor people need money, like to buy food and medical supplies, clothing, a roof, things like that, I mean, as an absolute poor person, she could encourage them. She could play, like, checkers with them, or tiddlywinks. She could read them stories. She could tell them how miserable she is. She could do that. But we know what Mother Teresa did. She brokered money from people who did have it. Yes, she approached business people who did have money. These evil people with money. Because according to the order, if you want to please quote the Sacred Heart of the Baby Jesus, that's a paraphrase. If you want to truly please the Sacred Heart of the Baby Jesus, then you must be poor. So apparently these people who have money are inherently evil because they're not poor, and yet... Well, we as the sisters can use their money to help the poor. So Mother Teresa becomes only a middleman, a middle nun, Yeah, she's a middle nun. Taking money voluntarily given by people who have money who are maybe not so evil after all. Because they're helping the poor that Mother Teresa wants to help. They're building them villages, giving them food, giving them clothes, giving them medicine. So there's a bit of hypocrisy going on there with the order. Because I'm sure they were quite willing to accept money in order to, if not for themselves, because they're not allowed to put it in their own pockets. Mother Teresa should have gotten a commission. I'd give her a 10% commish. And I'll explain what she could do with that money in a second here. But so that was passed on to the poor. Back to the quote, and I'll tell you how I would help this woman. Such deep longing for God, repulsed, empty, no faith, no love, no zeal. What do I labor for? If there be no God, there can be no soul. What? That's profound. If there be no soul, then Jesus, you also are not true. I swear to you, this is the writing of Mother Teresa. No faith, no love, doubting the existence of God, doubting even the existence of Jesus Christ. This is a result, the end result of religion. Because Mother Teresa is determinist. Man, this is why I picked her out. Somebody said, why are you picking on Mother Teresa? Because she's the ultimate example of somebody who takes religion to the nth degree. And the end of that road is spiritual bankruptcy, because it's not organic. It doesn't come from God. It comes from a rule book. It comes from human dictates. It comes from how the organizers of the order set out the rules in order to make the nuns look humble, in order to make the world go, ah, oh, look at that. Oh, let's give her money. Oh, let's give her money. And if Mother Teresa had pocketed a 10% commish, which I think she would have, she wouldn't have been as attractive. Mother Teresa is now wearing denim skirts and sparkly tops from Target. Well, it takes away the romantic appeal of pure poverty. It was a ploy. It's a frickin' ploy. That's why she's empty. It's not so hard to understand. Mother Teresa. This is my opinion, and I'll close the show for the week with this. In my opinion, Mother Teresa would have been very well served by a vibrator and a beer. The first thing I would do for her. No, I would take her to Target. I would get her that denim skirt. Well, I would shave her legs. Or I would have somebody else shave them. I would do it. I really would. No, I'm not above that. No, I'm not. I would be doing a service to shave Mother Teresa's legs. I'd have to put a lot of newspaper under the on the floor, but that's okay. And I like a broom, a push broom. But then I would get her a denim skirt from Target and a sparkly top, maybe something with a heart on it. Nah, that's too corny. No, just sparkles, no design, just a nice top. I would take her to the gym. She needs a workout. Her muscles, you know, look like they're very weak. She looks like more like a blob. So I would disemblob her by having her do weights, as much weight as she can handle, but I would have her do the power of 10 workout, where you go 10 seconds of a rep up, 10 seconds of a rep down, build her strength up. In between Target and the gym, I would get her a vibrator. We go to the Hollywood, Hustler of Hollywood on the road here on Federal Highway, and show her the selection. Sample them out, just like show her how they work, different attachments, and then I think that would make her, I'm so happy now, why didn't I know about the vibrators? Because your order didn't tell you about them, because they wanted you to be poor and miserable. Because if you were all joyful and glowing, then your investors would wonder if something was wrong, and like they maybe wouldn't give you as much money. Then I'd start having her listen to my show. You know, I would bring her here. I'd give her good food. I'd cook steaks here on the grill. And, I would definitely ply her with alcohol. Well, I already said that, a beer. I would give her a beer. I can't start her with anything stronger than that. No rum. Certainly no absinthe. No. I think beer would be a good start. And then wine. She might resist the beer, but I think maybe the wine, because...
But Jesus drank wine. Or was it grape juice?
No, it was wine. And here. Here's a nice little blend from California called Apothic Red. I think you'll like it. Yeah. She'd be a happy person. We'd watch my shows. I'd give her the book, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. And then I would say, there's no way you can really know how this works until you smoke a cigarette. But I wouldn't, because I don't want to see Mother Teresa smoke a cigarette. That is just a repulsive thought to me. I can't entertain it. What I would like to see her is smoking a cigar. Yes. It just seems too cheap to see Mother Teresa with a cigarette hanging out. No. I want to see her with a big stogie. Something perhaps Honduran. And I would light it for her. I'd make sure my camera was on. I would film it for you. And we would see the saint of Calcutta, the miserable, the wretched, the poor, the unhappy, the God doubter, the Christ doubter. We would see this person flourish. We would see her flower. We would see the true spirit, the human spirit ignited by the divine spirit, come forth. And this woman would be introduced, and I would use the scriptures, I would use my books, I would show her my shows, I would talk to her personally, we would have heart to heart, spirit to spirit, I would open up the scriptures to her, and this formerly miserable person would be a woman of happiness and a woman of joy, a woman who appreciates all the gifts of God in life, and perhaps she would become the last member of the body of Christ. In my perfect little fantasy world, allow me this, the last member of the body of Christ to come into the fold right before the snatching away. And as she is snatched away, we hear the greatest shout of joy. From who? From the saint of Calcutta.